Be seated for the long gospel reading. The gospel according to John. Glory to you, O Lord. Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard about it, he said,
"This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it."
Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples,
"Let us go to Judea again."
The disciples said to him,
"Rabbi, the Judeans were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?"
Jesus answered,
"Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him."
The disciples said to him,
"Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right."
Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly,
"Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him."
Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples,
"Let us also go, that we may die with him."
Now when Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in his tomb 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the people had come to Mary and Martha to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask him."
Jesus said to her,
"Your brother will rise again."
Martha said to him,
"I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day."
Jesus said to her,
"I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this?"
Martha said to him,
"Yes, Lord. I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world."
When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately,
"The teacher is here and is calling for you."
And when Mary heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The people who were with her in the house, consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him,
"Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died."
When Jesus saw her weeping, and the people who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said,
"Where have you laid him?"
They said to him, "Lord, come and see." Jesus began to weep. So the people said, "See how much he loved him." But some said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying?" Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said,
"Take away the stone."
Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him,
"Lord, there already is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days.
Jesus said to her,
"Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?"
So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said,
"Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me."
When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice,
"Lazarus, come out!"
The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them,
"Unbind him and let him go."
Now many of the people there who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did believed in him. The Gospel of the Lord. So this sermon and the readings, really the first reading and the gospel reading, are for people who are having a really bad day, or a really bad week, or a really bad year. That is, it's for people who feel cut off, dried up, dead, hopeless. And everybody else, you're welcome to stay and listen in, of course, but this really is aimed for those folks, because many of us feel hopeless at some point or points in life. Take Mary and Martha upon their brother's death. Not only had their beloved brother died, not only did they feel abandoned by their rabbi who didn't come in the crisis, but also the brother's death may have also meant that it would begin the time that they would have to beg for a living. Women didn't earn money in the public realm, and neither of them had a husband. And so what were they to do? So his death not only was sorrowful, but it meant a real dark future, possibly. Things looked bleak and hopeless on any number of levels. And like Mary Magdalene on Easter morn, they couldn't imagine that anything could be done. And I think that I love the old King James version of Martha's line. "Already there is a stench," Martha says in the New Revised International Version. But in the old King James, she says, "Lord, he stinketh," which is kind of sometimes what we think about life, eh? Says it all, it stinketh. There are some hearing this reading today for whom things also look that bleak. Some who are without hope, if only on one or two levels. Some who imagine that nothing can be done. But when it comes to Jesus, never say never. This reading of Lazarus is suggested at funerals, but I have to admit that I don't use it very often because I always worry that those grieving will have in their minds, if Jesus could raise Lazarus, why couldn't God simply have cured my loved one? I always worry about that. Because I always forget that the point of the reading, the point of the healing in the reading, the resurrection, the purpose of Jesus himself goes far deeper than mere physical healing. Although that's quite critical for us too. Lazarus does die eventually, just like the rest of us. Jesus performs this miracle or sign not merely to help good friends, although he obviously cares deeply about them. Rather, he uses the raising of Lazarus to work faith, which he thinks is even more important. See, the punchline of this story, if you can say that, is the last phrase. "Many of the people, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed, trusted him, had faith." Belief, not as an intellectual assent, but as a deep trust, what we trust as the center and purpose of life. See, humans tend to put ourselves into Mary and Martha's shoes in this story. and we want Jesus to perform miracles on our behalf, or ones that we think should be performed, which isn't unreasonable when in the face of illness or evil. We want Jesus to make life turn out better, how we think it should turn out. But the heart of the story is faith, not miracles. Martha and Mary loved, but didn't really trust, believe, have faith in Jesus. Jesus trusted God. Jesus believed God, always listened to prayers. Many of the Jews believed or trusted Jesus. That's really the heart of the story. So instead, perhaps we could put ourselves into Lazarus' shoes. We were never promised miracles to make life longer, better, or easier, although God does work healing through the medical field. Before we even think about it or pray for it, God is always at work healing. But God, through Jesus, never promised miracles. He promised something much deeper. Christ promised us personally, in our baptism, to bring us from death to life, to raise us from sin and evil in this life, and in the next one, to raise us from death itself. At the beginning of worship, when I proclaim, or when Vicar John proclaims Christ's forgiveness, we could say Christ's words to you from this reading. Child of God, come out. Come out of the darkness. Come out from that sin and from that guilt or shame. In Christ, we are freed and unbound, raised to new life, set free from the tomb of failure or little deaths that we experience in this life. Divorce, mistakes, endings. Over and over again, the grave clothes that still bind us and will bind us till the day we die and shroud and cover our faces, over and over again, Christ removes those through his word to us. He removes the despair, the helplessness, the fear, the illusion that we're in control in life. As we gather together through the word and the little meal of freedom that we share every week, we are unbound. No matter the bleakness, no matter what's gone before, no matter what will happen, in Christ, there's always hope for a new life. Never say never. Life may not go as we want it or imagined it, but Christ promises to give faith, trust, belief, to raise us up no matter what does happen. We can trust in Christ. You can trust in Christ. I can trust in Christ, who will call you to come out of all of the little deaths that you experience in your life. He's given you a community of brothers and sisters in faith who help to unbind us and let us go. He will see you through all the bad weekends, bad days, bad years, until the angels in heaven unbind you and let you go from death itself. Amen.